Welcome back to It's a Great Day in Unit 4. We have Zaira Wells, Cameron McCullough, and L'Oreal Allen back for another exciting episode. Last month, you got to hear them share their college and career aspirations, their thoughts on AI, and some bragging points about their schools. I think they even did some shout-outs to their favorite teachers and principals. Well, today, they flipped the script, returning with questions for me. Stay tuned. Well, I've done a lot of talking and asking questions, so let's flip the script just a little bit. Okay. Oh, God. You all have any questions for me?
Yes.
I also have
Cameron
questions.
Cameron was sitting on the edge of his seat going, yes. Okay.
Okay, so here's how I'll start. When the renovations of the building were planned and all of these student lounges were added, what was the initial purpose of having those spaces?
The spaces for the lounges for the students?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say I'm in year three, and when that was happening, I was not here.
Okay, yeah.
I'm thinking from an adult perspective for it to be a space for students to have a time to collaborate, to spend time with each other, kind of give you more of a bit of a college feel. Because when you go to the universities, you have those spaces where students can get together and collaborate and talk and enjoy. And then, you know, you can use it during lunchtime, I'm assuming, because not everybody leaves, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So I could be wrong on that aspect because, again, I wasn't here. So you look like you have something you want to add.
So about that. So
yes.
We have them, but it seems like I'm going to assume there's probably a few rotten eggs that might have spoiled the opportunity for everyone. But it seems like we're not really allowed to be in the lounges unless we have like a teacher who like asked in advance for that student to be in the lounge and someone else is present. And that's pretty much what it seems like the only opportunity we can use the lounges. During lunch hours, they don't really want us in the lounges because we could be a disruption to the other classes.
Okay. The locations of them.
Yeah, and then during the school, after school and like before school, you can't really go to that side of the building. Mm-hmm. And then like students who have unscheduled periods, they're not able to sit in the lounge. They have to sit in the cafeteria, which kind of deters them from their own learning. Because some people do better in silence and the lounges act like an opportunity.
It sounds like to me you may want to have a conversation with your leadership.
Yes.
And I know Ms. Sanders is open to all kinds of ideas. And because what you're saying makes a lot of sense. There's safety precautions, but then also where's a place where we can make sure our students are getting what they need as well. So there could be a win-win in there somewhere. So somehow, Cameron, I think you're the right person to start that conversation at Centennial.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a friend who came here. That's why I was thinking about
that. So you're asking for a friend or you're asking for you?
Both. She's really great. She came here with like the like passionate spirit where she wants to be able to get things done, be able to like have student leadership. And I believe our principal will be able to make that happen.
I agree. So, and with students such as yourselves, it's doable. We need to. So student leadership is powerful.
Yes.
So use your power to help make things better for you and for your fellow peers.
And then I have another question, but I don't know if that's more of a building question or like a superintendent question, but
let's see what it is.
So I guess the organizational layout of like the school suggests that student council is like a group of students. They're supposed to be student leaders, but it doesn't seem like a student led. It seems more like it's led by someone who's in charge. And then the students are just fulfilling what that leader wants. And then that goes up the chain of command. But we want to, me and my friend, her name is Maddie, we want to restructure it so that the students act as the leaders of this council. And then after they have their meeting, they are able to report it and go up the command or whatever and get things done more efficiently.
Okay.
That sounds like that's
another thing. And I'm going to say to you, that's kind of how government works, really. And I love what you're thinking. So empowering the student voice and having advisors, I think that's what I'm hearing you say. And so perhaps those advisors could be ones that you can bounce your ideas off and they could say, that's a great direction to go in, but have you thought about X, Y, Z?
Yes.
Something like that. So that's another conversation I would encourage you to have with your building leadership and maybe perhaps start with your advisors.
Okay.
Yes. Because they may want to do that, but they may not even realize that you are capable or you want to have that kind of power and leadership.
Yes. I do also believe that that probably ties a role into why some students just kind of stop caring because they just feel like other people are in charge and that they won't be able to have any like sense of leadership.
So use your powers, for lack of a better term, and your brilliant mind to start leading some of those conversations and get some of those students together to say, hey, let's have a conversation.
Okay.
Conversations are what's great. And I think when you have conversations that are constructive, it will lead to the change that you're looking for. But you got to be open on both sides to hear what the other person, the other side is presenting, other people's perspectives.
Yes.
I hear your perspectives. I like them. I'm encouraging you to go and talk to your leadership.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we're planning a meeting for that one.
More questions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have two questions.
Yes.
So, well, I wrote them down. But,
okay. Oh, boy.
my first question is, what were your initial impressions of our community and what attracted you to this district? And what are your primary goals and priorities for this district, both short and long term?
Great questions. So what attracted me here to Unit 4 was the strategic plan and the diversity in the community and in the school district.
Mm-hmm.
I was familiar with a little bit what's happening in Champaign from working with a few people in other spaces that were from Champaign, but didn't know a whole lot about it.
Okay.
So I came over when I was thinking about actually applying for the position and met with people in the community, met with people, small business owners. I ran into a group of kids on the street and talked to them, saw some families at one of the schools and got out of the car and start talking to them. I'll talk to anybody. If you want to talk to me, I'm going to talk.
Good.
And so being open to hearing more about the whole idea of what is equity and what does it mean and what does it look like, that attracted me. Because I'm in my 26th year of education, and so I was year 23 when I decided to make that change. And so that drew me. Champaign is a little different from where I came from, coming from the state capital, but it's the same in so many ways. But I love the fact that we have the college university here.
Yeah.
So those university partnerships, and we have University of Illinois Springfield where I came from, those partnerships, but then just having all of these resources at my fingertips and so many people in the community who want to pour into Unit 4 to help us flourish and grow. It's amazing. The partnerships with Parkland and with University of Illinois, just different areas. It's amazing. So that, then when I got here and I saw the facilities, oh my word, beautiful facilities. But then when I saw the amazing young people who are in the facilities, that made my heart happy. So my long-term goal is not to just have beautiful facilities that look good, but what's happening on the inside of those facilities, I need that to be powerful and beautiful as well.
Okay.
I want to empower our students. I want to look at how we can do school a little bit different to meet the needs of our changing demographics. And what I mean by that, there are so many different things that our students need that we didn't need when I was a kid. Since COVID, we have students who may have to work. We have over 71 languages that are spoken in our schools. And so the diversity, how do we make sure that Unit 4 provides a premier world-class educational opportunity for every single student that comes through our doors?
Yes.
How do we empower our staff to have what they need to make sure our students are thriving? AVID, district-wide. Want to see that happen. I want to see where our kids have choices if they want to go AP, they want to do dual credit, they want to do trades, they want to go to college, they want to go to the military, whatever. I just want to prepare our students for whatever their future decisions happen to be. Not sort who goes where, but give you the opportunities to decide what you want to do. Okay. So, that okay?
Cool. Yeah.
All right. And y'all know I love my athletics too, right?
Yeah.
I want to continue winning teams. I love my athletics and the fine arts.
Yeah. And my second question is, so how do you plan to bridge the gap and rebuild trust with parents and community members who may be dissatisfied with some of your decisions?
Because ask me questions. Talk to me. I'm transparent. I'm always going to lead from what's best for students.
Mm-hmm.
If you know my heart, My heart is what's best for students. And sometimes that means adults don't always feel good about the decision, but I'm never gonna do anything that's gonna hurt kids. Right. I always lead with the student-centered attitude in the mind. And when we talk about equity, it means giving people what they need and where people are. It doesn't mean everybody gets the same thing. So when people get to know the real me, you know, and I've come to realization, not everybody's gonna like me right. or like all the decisions that I make. But you have to understand that I'm always going to do what's best for our students. And trying to please everyone, as you get older, you'll find that out that it's not always an easy thing to do.
No, it isn't. I've been trying.
And you can't. You just got to do what's best with what you have at that moment. And yes, I will make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I will own my mistakes. I will apologize for my mistakes. But I will not apologize for doing what's best for kids, because that's why I'm in education. You all and all the other 10,300 kids that we serve are my reason and my why. And so, again, there'll be times when I make decisions that people don't always understand. But I have a board of 7 who govern me, and I have to do what they guide me to do. I make recommendations based upon the data. Whatever the data says, that's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And when I look at you 3, my heart just sings. You give me my purpose. You fulfill what I'm trying to do. And there's so many more just like you. So
thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. You have a question for me?
Yes, I have 2 actually.
Yes.
Okay. So my first question is, what do you think is like the biggest obstacle that you face while being so like deeply involved in the facility so far?
In this work itself?
Yes.
The hardest part for me is not being from Champaign and not mm-hmm. always knowing the political fallouts of different things or how things came to be. Sometimes when you come to a place when you're from outside, you have to just ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And when people say that they want to change, but knowing that sometimes that change means I have to do something different. And it's so difficult for people to be uncomfortable with being uncomfortable. And so that's been the difficult piece for me, coming into a new system and people have been doing things the way they've been doing it for so long. But knowing that people do what they think is best, but asking the right questions and not being afraid to shake up things a little bit, to challenge the status quo, not change for the sake of change, but change for the better. Mm-hmm. And that's what helps me. But that's been difficult as well. Trying to build relationships, trying to reestablish trust that evidently, and I keep hearing about this, and you all as students hear it too, reestablish trust that I guess was broken between the school district and the community and parents long before I got here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I can't undo things from the past. All I can do is take the data I have in front of me and help move forward and have these kind of conversations, bringing you all on here and helping people to understand Unit 4 is an amazing place. No, we're not perfect. There are many things we can do better. But I tell you what, it's a great place. I love being here. I love leading it. So even though it's been difficult, it's been worth it. I wouldn't change it. I will come back again.
Okay, and my second question is, what do you feel is the best or the most impactful thing that you've learned while working in the industry?
And it's really, okay, and education itself is, for me, the most impactful thing has been the fact that students are resilient mm-hmm. no matter what comes at you. And I'm not saying that you should have to be, but you are. Students seem to embrace change and are not afraid to try new things more so than adults. So that for me, and then when my students, when you talked about your favorite teachers, even I can remember my second grade teacher had the most profound impact on me. And I kept thinking, I want to be like her mm-hmm. when I grow up. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. I want to, when people look back on the best moments of their life, just think I had something to do with that. Being a teacher, being an educator, think about it. Every profession in the world has to go through a teacher. Mm-hmm. Who else can say that? I have actually helped change and mold lives from the very beginning other than parents. Mm-hmm. So it's to be an educator to me, even in this climate, there's no greater profession. I love it. And being the first Black woman sitting in this seat, I want to inspire others. Mm-hmm. to be able to do the same thing.
Yes.
When students look at me, I want them to be proud of me and say, hey, yes, she made a difference in my life. She didn't just have that position just so she could have it. I'm gonna upset some people from time to time, but it's never intentional. Mm-hmm. It's all because of you all. You are my driving force. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You. Anything else?
Yeah. So how do you think the community or parents can actively support you with like improving Unit 4 as a whole? So like, how do you think community members and like parents?
Partner with us. Partner with us. Come to the table. Ask those tough questions. Hold us accountable. But come to the table with how can we help you and help us build that trust. Let us know what do we need to do in order to help build the trust. And listen to us. And we'll listen to you because we can't do this by ourselves.
Right.
We need our community. We need our families because I always say our parents know our students better than we do. Mm-hmm. So help us help you, because if there's a thriving school community, then it makes the whole community thrive. Mm-hmm. So it's those kind of things. Ask us the right questions. Talk to us. Be willing to try new things. Mm-hmm. Come out of your comfort zone a little bit. And trust that we do want what's best for your students, because we may not always make the right decisions, but it comes from a place of love. Yes. And give us a little bit of grace as we do the same thing. So we need our parents to partner with us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We need our parents and our community to partner with us.
Okay. So when like students or like parents, so you encourage people to attend like school board meetings.
Yes.
And things of such. So when students and parents come to the school board meetings, are you all just hearing them just to hear them, or are you all hearing them and actually adjusting what you guys are doing based off what students and parents are saying?
Both. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you and very transparent. We hear things. And if there's something that was within our control to make changes, we definitely do that.
Right, because what they say isn't always going to be correct.
Right, but sometimes some of the suggestions people come to us with, it's not that we're not listening to them. It's just we can't do anything because we're governed
right.
by federal and state laws and mandates.
Mm-hmm.
So some things that people bring to us, we get it. But like, for example, you know, we're having issues with hiring enough bus drivers or teachers or what have you. So we've got all kinds of campaigns and trying to do all those kind of things. And we know the impact that it's having on our families. But what can we do that we can control? So we listen. And after every single board meeting, the very next day, I have a 3 to 4 hour cabinet meeting where we unpack everything that took place at the board meeting.
Okay.
I write copious notes of what people are saying, some of their complaints, some of their issues, even the good things, because there are a lot of people who send us things that are great too. Some people don't come and speak at the board meetings. They may send us emails, but we look at those things and we talk about them and we try to look at our policies, our administrative procedures, what can we change, what we can do. So it's not like we're just listening and it just falls on deaf ears. We actually go back and sometimes we can't do it immediately. But sometimes it takes a little bit of time to make some changes.
Okay.
So great questions.
I knew
you were going to have some great questions.
Have one more.
Okay.
Okay. So I know the school district does surveys with students to gauge like how they respond to things, how they feel inside of the school district.
Are you talking like panorama?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there a way that instead of like through Google Forms or through like 5-star, we might be able to send out forms to determine like engagement within schools,
mm-hmm.
whether or not students will respond to things, how students want to be like communicated with, how they'll respond. Or is that more of like a thing that like would be within the school?
That depends. So if it's like a district level type of thing, so like Panorama is on its own platform.
Yes.
So we use the platform they provide us. But if there are things that are going on in your particular building and surveys, that's another thing that you definitely can speak to your administrators about. Our IT department can speak to them about it. So you've got a lot of great ideas. So we need to probably have you talk to us a little bit more, because you are bringing us some good things that we need to talk about. So this has been great. And I hate to say this, but that's all the time we have for this episode. It's been phenomenal. Yes. It went by so fast. It's been a joy talking with you amazing young people, Cameron, L'Oreal, and Zaira Zai. and so that's why it's always a great day in Unit 4. I will say it to the top of my lungs, even though we have some things that don't always go well, when I look at you and your peers, it reminds me that it is a great day in Unit 4. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you. Tell all your friends and family members to tune in and listen, because you got a lot to say.
Oh, I will.
And you know what? We're about to bring you back for another episode.
All right.
Okay? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.